Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
A big bong, big up, big, big bong, ba-ba-ba-bing, ba-bing, ba-bingly, ba-bing. Hello, welcome again, everybody, to Suggestible in the City. My name is Claire 20, James Clement, and he's there also. We are married, and we're here again.
We're here again to talk about the latest episode, episode 8. Are you sad that after this there's only two more to go for this season?
I don't know what I'll do with my life.
You might just have to watch a different show, I think. Speaking of shows, though, the show that we watched this week, this is actually a spin-off of our more successful show, podcast, Suggestible, which is a podcast which I do, which isn't a Suggestible. Which isn't as successful as my most successful podcast.
Just to set the scene for anyone who's listening for the very first time, James has a real ego problem.
It's true.
We're in a tiny room in our holiday house and his ego can barely fit in.
It's not our holiday house. It's a house that we are Airbnb-ing. Anyway, this episode is called Bewitched, Bothered and Bewildered, but they should have called it Dong City. Because I don't think there's ever been so many we've seen dongs in Sex and the City. Do you know
correct,
what I mean?
We have, yes.
We saw James Remar's balls, famously.
Yes, correct.
Samantha's boyfriend. But I don't think we've ever seen two dongs in the one episode. You know
no,
what I mean?
No, it's a two-dong time.
It's a two-dong situation. Okay, and alert everybody.
And right up top, I do have to say, this episode reminded me, and I was reflecting on it last week, but particularly this episode, reminded me that I'm missing Samantha. This is the first couple episodes where I've really missed Samantha. Yeah. And I'll tell you why, James. I'll tell you why, because we're doing like Samantha speculation up top here.
Oh, I got some goss at the end as well.
Ooh, all right, okay. Yeah. So we won't – I just need to get this out early. What has happened is they've gone back to Sex and the City format ye of old in the last two episodes, except they're missing the fun, sexy – like full raunchy scenes.
Yeah.
And while I thought that was not what I enjoyed about the show, I feel like it needs it.
Totally, yeah.
To kind of bring it all together.
So why don't we just talk about this up top then? Because Charlotte has an encounter with her husband in the bathroom. Yeah, she's going to go down on him.
Correct.
There are other ways.
She's
going to
give him a blowjob.
Yeah.
Let's just call a spade a spade.
There might be kids listening to this podcast.
He's about going red, guys. He's going red.
And that's normally, I mean, she has been in like situations, like sexual situations before that we've seen, but it's wouldn't really be the character that you'd go to necessarily, would you, for a scene?
No, like that. No, it's definitely not like a Samantha-esque kind of, you know, blowing the male guy.
I mean, she wouldn't be embarrassed though, and she wouldn't have a kid and whatever. But
No. Yeah. I think what's interesting about it, because obviously their daughter walks in, she slammed the door in their daughter Lily's face and it's all a bit awkward. And the reason it all starts off is because Charlotte wants Harry to wear, and again,
oh my
an
God.
Aura ring.
Shout out to the sponsors for this week. This is a big week. We got the Aura ring, which is already synced up to his phone. I didn't even know you could do that. How delightful. Jiffy Pop popcorn, Hershey's Kisses, Fat Witch Bakeries, and there's so many varieties of brownies they do, including caramel, it would seem.
and then she says, oh, it's not a brownie, it's a blondie.
It's a blondie, yeah. Wow.
That bakery is made.
I feel like, you know, when you got this too many sponsors, I don't feel as much, do you know what I mean? I want something to focus on. I thought, oh, Jiffy Pop, that's going to be like the thing. But no, they went all out this episode.
What is Jiffy Pop?
It's popcorn. She's eating it at the end.
That's what she's eating and getting out of foil. I wasn't sure. I thought it might be naan bread or something.
The popcorn we have here is different. Well, let's just explain this for people. Ours are in like like paper bags that you heat up in the microwave. I'm sure people overseas and other places have that as well. But traditionally, they're like in a little disposable like frying pan kind of thing. And you put it on the stove and it like twists and pops in this silver kind of packaging. And I think that's more what Jiffy Pop traditionally is.
Because I thought she bought something from a street stall or something.
No, Claire. Oh, I was like, what is that? Is that like marshmallow? What is that? What's Jiffy Pop? Why is it called Jiffy Pop?
I think I thought it was like a drink, like the Snapple.
Yeah, okay, you know, yeah.
The Diet Snapple drink that she was like talking about.
I'm across a lot of like American culture and food, but Jiffy Pop just completely slid me by. Anyway,
back to the story. I feel like I could use that Jiffy Pop in my own life. Popcorn. You know, I'm going to get there in a Jiffy Pop.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah. You'd use the expression.
Yeah, anyway, why did we bring that up? Tell me about it. I'm Steve. What's going on? I don't know.
My hearing aids aren't
in. It's in the couch somewhere.
Can't you just break up with me with one hearing aid in? We should get to that. Okay, so Miranda, right?
No. I wanted to talk about with the Jiffy Pop story.
Yeah.
And what were we doing?
Well, it was led back to Charlotte. We're talking about Charlotte.
Oh, yes, the
bathroom.
Charlotte thing. All right, so this is what I wanted to say about. So the aura ring thing,
yep.
Obviously. But what I think is interesting about that scene is that it tracks actually with Charlotte as a character in general.
Yeah.
Because she surprisingly does a lot of sexual exploits that are surprising to her friends because she seems like this sort of like twee kind of very polite.
She's a very
woman.
Like sexual person, but she's just not like conversational about it as other
and I
people,
guess
yeah.
She's and in other ways she's very uptight
but
it is really interesting when she's in a relationship like that. And it was the same with Trey, because there were scenes with her that she says some things that she does with Trey that like are quite explicit. And it's almost like once she's in a relationship
when
she
can
feels
bloody
free.
Get up Trey my bloody
yeah
right,
exactly
know.
Bloody Trey, you know, I just find that I really like that sort of vibe about Charlotte. I think that's really cool. And I like that it's continued. And I really enjoyed the conversation when Miranda kept saying, you know, in the coffee shop.
Yeah, she couldn't believe that they still
yeah,
do that.
Yeah, and you still do that. And I thought that's really great.
I couldn't believe the absolute uniform color on his penis. Just like this, like obviously like a fake penis. We saw two penises this
week. We saw a real one.
The real one.
And a fake one.
What I assume was a fake one because it was one color.
Yeah, and it definitely flopped around like it was plastic. Like it just looked plastic. It was like waggling around there. I don't know. There was something going on. Yeah, it was
anyway, good on him. He's packing some heat, I guess, because that, what you know, he was at half mast. You know, who knows where he's going? Anyways, so Miranda, right? It starts off where she's at some kind of awareness parade. I don't know what was it. It was a gathering. I guess.
I think it seemed like it might have been even a protest.
Yeah.
I think. And it was really
or like a celebration.
Yeah,
like,
a celebration look, of queer rights. Here and, yeah. Yeah. Mm. And Shay was speaking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's interesting because he's like, you know, nothing to hide and I don't have anything to hide. No one else should have anything to hide. And then Miranda's there and she's like, oh, I have something to hide. I'm having an affair. And that leads into the conversation of like, Shay didn't know that Miranda wasn't in an open marriage. And I thought that was really strange that, first of all, I guess that conversation didn't happen, and also that it was assumed that Miranda was in an open marriage. But I guess they come from different worlds where Shay would be like, well, the only reason you would do this is because everybody is okay with it on your end, where, you know, not realizing that Miranda, I guess, is more from like a traditional
world, you know, and world, era, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay, two things I have to say. One, so she creeps out because she sees her son Brady in the audience. And
good on Brady. There was like 40 people there and Brady happened to be there.
And I think,
he's an
good
ally.
On Brady. Correct, exactly. Good on Brady. The walk she does is so funny.
I just
found it so weird and it made her suddenly look very elderly. Like she's crouched over. Like crawling out of there. I actually really liked that conversation with Shay. I'm not so sold on their stand-up.
Yeah, right.
But what I do really enjoy is the conversations that they have with Miranda.
Yes.
And Shay, I think you're absolutely right. I think they come from really different worlds. And I actually thought that was a surprising conversation because you would assume that Shay would just
be like,
hey,
whatever.
Yeah,
who cares?
Or not even that, but just be like, you should just tell your son and you should tell your husband what's going on. And I really liked that take that, A, they immediately just went, no, that's I'm out
not
of here.
I'm not a home wrecker.
No, yeah. I'm not a home wrecker. And don't you have an open marriage? And I also liked Miranda in that scene, kind of shocked, because she thought what they were doing was this kind of like illicit affair.
Yes.
And what Shay brings it into is, no, this is actually a legitimate relationship choice. Everything I do is a choice.
Yeah.
And you need to be living with integrity here. It's not just, oh, isn't this an illicit fun thing that we're doing?
Yeah.
You're going to hurt people in this process and you need to sort yourself out. And I thought that was really interesting. And I wondered whether, back to the point that we got an email last week about how cheating, it doesn't matter whether it's with the same-sex partner or with someone else, is still cheating.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I feel like Miranda maybe got so swept up in that idea that I don't know if she really understood what she was doing was cheating in the same way.
If it was with like another man, yeah, you're right. This would probably be a different conversation
and
a different level of guilt.
Exactly. Yeah. And one of the other things I thought was interesting is that Shay makes the point, why did you make yourself available? And Miranda pushed the whole relationship, kind of built it out to be a thing. You know, she went and sought out Shay in that bar and made insinuations and, you know, had that set up, that kind of thing where they're at the hospital talking. Like, Shay wasn't kind of chasing her.
Yeah.
Shay was going to visit their friend in hospital.
Yes.
You know, so I think that's really interesting. I don't know.
It's interesting that they both also declare their love for each other. And I think, and we'll talk about this later, they both have different ideas of what this relationship is going to be. We'll come back to this because, of course, the Steve related. Steve makes a big reappearance. Big time. Anyway, so Carrie, that dress, Claire, I was like, what's that dress? What's that dress?
Oh,
bro?
Mate, I have so much to say about that dress. Okay, so for starters, I love the fact that Carrie's just got her whole apartment full of all these different eras.
I bet there's
of
so
Carrie
many
outfits.
Easter eggs and references to
there are, and
episodes.
Look, I'm not a fashion expert.
Sure. Well, I am. So this is what I saw.
So look, there's a lot of iconic outfits in there, and I would need so much time to unpack them / research. But I will say that particular dress, for starters, it's the most expensive dress that was ever worn in Sex and the City.
Oh, really?
By any character.
How much?
$80,000.
And that was in 2004.
Yeah, 2004. Yeah, it was the last episode of season 6.
Let me check what that would be worth.
All right.
Nowadays.
While you do that, I'll tell you a little bit more about it. So
please.
Patricia Field had to fight Michael Patrick King. I always go to say Pycometric King.
Pycometric King. We should call him Pycometric.
The Mattress King. Mattress King. Okay, so she had to fight the Mattress King over that dress because he just kept saying there is absolutely no world where this would make sense. And she was like, no one cares if it makes sense.
No, it's
and
not about
and she,
that, yeah.
She wears it in Paris. No one cares that she couldn't get it there. You just need to have her in this dress. Trust me, you need to.
Just on a flat rate, if you do inflation alone, that dress today is worth $118,000.
Jesus.
And that's not taking into account that it's probably vintage now and a collector's item, et cetera.
And also
so
featured in and a featured very in
sex,
iconic.
Yeah, because in the world of Sex and the City, I don't know if you know this, the show Sex and the City doesn't exist. So I'd imagine that dress within that world is not worth as much as the dress in the real world because in the show, that dress wasn't on a television show. Anyway, please go on.
My brain is bent. I had too much ice cream. Oh, my gosh. In little bowls.
In little bowls, yeah.
Oh, God. Anyway, yeah, so Carrie in her big flitty-flutty dress couldn't walk outside because Michael Patrick King's whole thing was, where's she going to wear it? She can't walk down the street in it. It's so giant. Just
it's
tulle
ridiculous.
Skirt alone.
Yeah.
It's huge. It would take up this entire room. Yeah. Not that would be that hard, but, you know. It's crazy. And so they just have her by a window and famously Petrovsky comes in and he's like, what is under your milfoy? You know, like the layers. And
so weird, that guy.
I know, but I kind of love that scene. And do you know what? It's consistently voted one of the most iconic outfits, if not the one, of Carrie's.
Really?
Yeah.
Above the tutu.
Yeah, totally. The tutu doesn't really get up there. It's actually her newspaper dress.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Do you remember that dress
remember
that she wears? And she's striding down the street in slow-mo.
Above the clothes that she wore to hide her pregnancy in one of the later seasons.
Shockingly, yes. Anyway, so that's why that dress, I don't know, I guess it's so expensive, it's so iconic, it's amazing. And so when
as far as dresses go, I thought it was okay. But anyway, sorry, go on.
You have to see it on, mate. Anyway.
I saw it on. I've seen all of these episodes.
Anyway, what I loved about that, and I have to say a side note, Seema, the character of Seema, has the most fantastic hair. I think, great hair. Any character.
Some of the best hair.
It's some of the best hair. And it's looking particularly fabulous in this. And she walks so amazingly too.
Yeah.
And what I love about it is her and Carrie's friendship is so good.
I also like that it is different than Samantha, because I feel like this role would have, you know, this character would not have existed, not in this capacity at least, if Samantha was in this show.
Correct.
And I, so yeah, I think it's also good that we can see more people in it. And this to bring back MASH as we did last week.
Yeah.
What they did in MASH, which I thought was really smart, whenever somebody left, they brought in the next person who was a counter to that person. So when the original guy who ran the base of MASH left, he was kind of this normal everyday guy who got given this command and was like, I don't know what I'm doing. They replaced him with like a career military man. So like when Frank Burns left, who was an incompetent surgeon, they replaced him with one of the most talented surgeons like in the world. And I feel like there is a bit of that here where it's like they didn't just go, let's just make a character who's like Samantha-esque. This is a whole other new fleshed out character, which I appreciate.
What though I really like about Seema's character and what is similar to Samantha is that she's super confident.
Yes.
She's also single. So Carrie's got someone who is a partner.
It's a good point. Yeah.
And I think because Charlotte's obviously got her kids and so has Miranda, and they're obviously both living very domestic lives, whereas Carrie needed someone to be cool and sexy and in the city, you know?
Getting her on those dating apps.
And getting their smokes on and all the things. But so that's something. But also Seema's got the energy of Samantha in that she has ideas, she knows how to get stuff. She's got contacts, she knows how to fix things.
That's true, actually, yeah.
Yeah, so she does have a Samantha energy, but she's much more about waiting for love. She's not sexually free in the same way that Samantha was, I would say.
I would say she is, but they're like in different ways.
In different ways, And I also think that Seema, what I really like about her is she doesn't have the fragility of Samantha.
Right.
You know, because I think Samantha's vibe was that she had all this big bravado, but she was also deeply insecure.
Yeah.
Whereas you feel with Seema that she's much less like that. She's much more secure in herself. And I guess she's a woman in her 50s as well.
Samantha was in the later episodes. Later series,
that's true.
Movies
she
at
was.
Least.
Yeah, and she did grow a lot, Samantha. But I
Samantha
still
in the last series and the movies is very different than earlier on as well.
Yeah. And what I also enjoy about Seema's character is her throwaway lines are so cool, and she's cool and funny. I mean, I sound really daggy when I say that, but I loved the fact that she goes to light up and Carrie says, you can't smoke in here, and she says, I just feel like I've had sex. I need to have sex. because she's such a fashion fan.
Yeah.
And I think that's actually the first time Carrie's had a counterpart in that state.
That's true, actually,
None of the women, I mean, they all love fashion clearly, but none of them are like diehard.
In the world the way that Carrie is.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Interesting,
So I thought that was interesting too.
Well, just quickly on the topic of smoking, where she'll go outside and she's got rubber gloves and like forehead scarves or whatever. Well, I have a friend who smokes, not all the time, but will jack it up, wear a glove to hide it. And I just found that really funny because I know that exists
in the real world,
but not to rat out that person, whoever he or she or they may be.
Maybe, correct. I loved that scene where she's walking, smoking, and that's really iconic. That scene's been like shot 1,000 times all over the internet.
Yeah, right.
So I knew it was coming. But even so, she does look kind of like that woman that
Audrey Hepburn.
Yeah, a little bit. She kind of reminds me of the energy of that older lady that in one of the
Strega
seasons,
Nonna?
She doesn't like a Strega Nonna. Let me make us a pasta.
There's a reference.
Yeah, there's a reference. No, there's an episode where there's an old lady putting lithium on her ice cream.
I don't know.
And I can't remember which. It's the
lithium
one where Carrie.
Lithium and ice cream. What a combo.
It's raining and Carrie decides to have a date with her city, and then the city like rains on her and she's all lonely and she tries to crack onto a guy when it's raining and he thinks she's scary and like runs away.
Is that the guy who's, at the bus stop or whatever? And
they're standing under an awning.
Yeah.
Anyway,
they
go into a coffee shop. She goes into a coffee shop and she's all wet, and then, there's this sort of like woman who's like very elderly and clearly dressed in an outfit with a beret, just like Carrie would be, like saying, I've, you know, yeah, anyway, eating a lithium on my ice cream. And she just looks like that kind of like crazed, yeah, sort of kooky, eccentric New York kind of woman.
And then she runs into a very cool neighbor.
Yeah.
Who's a jewelry designer.
What do you think about that neighbor story?
Is that going to be anything, do you think?
Do you think they're trying, there's something about it. Do you think that they're trying to be like, we know the women are older, so we're just going to give a sexy storyline to
cross
like
my mind
jazz
to be like,
things up.
Let's put someone in their mid to late 20s,
who
I'm guessing.
Who's Carrie back in, you know, 30 years
with
ago
money, though.
Yeah, with money and who's cool and a jewelry designer. What do you think? I don't know.
30 years ago. Wow, that is, yeah. I'm like, is that math right on that? But yeah, you're right.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Well, she's supposed to be in her 20s, right? Like 25
or something?
I assume so, yeah,
about that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, which is just...
Saw that guy's dick as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That dick had the right colours. It is funny, though. And Carrie gets to be mammed. But I felt like that joke was a bit lame.
I don't know. I think also, like... Yeah, it's kind of obvious.
It's just been done
a
lot.
Yeah, at least it was like, she called me ma'am and blah. Like, they didn't go on with it.
Yeah, she just kind of goes shrugs. Yeah, okay, right. Yeah, and rolls her eyes.
But she does get the ultimate validation where she's like, you're cool. And she's like, I am cool. I am fucking cool. I'm the coolest fucking person in the world. I always knew I was cool.
What I did enjoy, which is vintage Carrie's, when she's got the face mask on, she opens the door to a neighbor she thinks it's going to be Lily, Charlotte's daughter, and opens the door with a face mask on and all her like the crazy clothes are in the background, and she might look like she lives like in a hoarder's apartment. Yeah. Anyway, she's trying to do the Carrie thing, which is put on a bit.
Yeah,
because
yeah, yeah.
She wants to impress this woman for some reason. And so she goes all into this whole like, I'm a writer, I'm a writer. And it's such a Carrie thing to do because she does just live in like little vignettes of herself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's quite like funny, I think. And embarrassing too, in a lot
also
of ways.
Also embarrassing, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me. Sorry, it's getting late here over at
podcasting. You're yawning away. Anyway, let's move on.
Anyway, we sure have. Sorry, his penis. Yeah, there was a story with Charlotte's daughter and she was like, we should talk to you about sex or whatever. And I want to have a healthy relationship. And she's got an Instagram account. And to be honest, whatever. Let's get on to Steve. What do you think? Is there anything there in terms of...
Oh, look, I think if we had teenagers, we'd probably have a different
I completely agree. And that's actually a note that I made.
Because I actually thought that was really interesting.
Yeah. And that's something that we will have to confront and, you know, most parents...
Yeah, and I do want to talk about that actually because I know you just like brushed over it. And
I don't know. I just don't think it's that interesting a storyline. Or, you know, it didn't feel like it played that interestingly.
I feel like they didn't go with it as far as they
could have. That's probably it. They didn't commit to it.
And maybe it's because Charlotte's other child has decided to transition or is on that journey to becoming rock. And so Charlotte's already dealing with one controversial issue, I guess, or confronting issue. So maybe they didn't push it as far as they could have. But I know that there are so many teenagers out there and parents who are dealing with teenagers who are expressing themselves online in really quite scary ways.
Which I guess is – I wish it was kind of went somewhere interesting. I'm not just like, oh, 13 people follow me and they all know. It's like, great. Okay.
Yeah, I think that's probably why. I feel like that wasn't dealt.
Not that I need like this gets into a whole thing about, you know, child exploitation online.
No.
I'm not talking about like you don't need to go down this whole rabbit hole, but like just to be like, who cares? It's like, well, then why do I care then? Why are you showing me this if like?
Yeah, because I know for a fact, and I was a teacher and I've seen students and
other students
of mine as well putting a lot of not even explicit content but a lot of their bodies online in a way that I think later on they might regret or in a way where they're not really old enough to understand the implications of what they're doing. And then they're accruing all these followers because their accounts are public.
Yeah.
And I think that is a more interesting conversation, talking to her daughter about who can see this and why it matters. And if it was a public account, that would have been a more interesting storyline and maybe would have made you less kind of go, oh, that's not interesting.
Yeah, but it was, I feel like it wasn't interesting because they didn't seem very interested in it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I do know what you mean.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Yeah. Anyway, Steve took a fucking stray this week, Matt. I tell you what, absolutely just came out of nowhere, as in like a bullet. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, I was like, right, I don't know what that means. Yeah, I have no idea what that means. And why do you know what that means?
Mean, it's just because it's an expression. It's a common expression. Anyway, so she's like, I'm doing it. I'm going to ask Steve for a divorce. And Charlotte even was just like, yeah, you know what? Good. You should, you know?
I feel like Charlotte was holding back.
More like, no, this is not
you're
my
I actually think you, problem. No, you're wrong. I think you've read that totally wrong.
No, I think she took it as like, you need to do the thing that you need to do.
I think Carrie and Charlotte in this scene are being the friends who know their friend is heading for a massive car accident, but they can't say anything more because they've already said some of the things.
Yep.
What I think is missing though, and I feel like in previous seasons of Sex and the City, and we've discussed this before, Steve had a massive storyline.
Yeah.
Everyone was kind of rooting for Steve. And I remember when Miranda tells Kerry that she's in love with Steve, she gets emotional and Kerry really is like so rooting for them and also so thrilled that Miranda can actually finally see that Steve is like the one for her.
Yeah.
And, you know, she can finally see who he is because he's just consistently there for her and a sounding board and he makes her laugh. He's this really kind person.
Yeah.
And I think they're trying to sell us on this notion that Miranda never should have been with him or that she was never satisfied with him.
Yeah, I don't know if they were trying to sell that necessarily. Because, you know, all of that stuff still exists. I think it's maybe something that the character has forgotten and maybe the perspective they're showing of leaving Steve out is to, like, have us kind of forget who Steve is until, like, this scene where they bring him in and he actually is a human being for about a minute.
Yeah, but I just feel like Charlotte and Kerry, before Miranda goes into that scene, they haven't really said what about Steve.
Yeah.
Like, in the way that I guess they've been friends with him for so long now, but I guess maybe they're holding back or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
But and I also feel like Charlotte, it doesn't approve, but you're right, is just kind of saying, well, you've got to do what you've got to do.
Exactly.
It was sort of weird they didn't stay longer there, though, on that, and instead they went over to Charlotte and the blowjob joke. I feel like if your friend who's been married for a million years to this person that you've been friends with for so long says she was asking for a divorce, I feel like you would give more weight to that conversation.
That would be the day.
Yeah, you would just give more weight to the conversation. Anyway. Yeah.
Anyway, continue. So she goes to Steve and she goes, Steve, I've got some good and bad news. Good for me, bad for you.
Yeah.
And Steve's like, oh, I'm watching the football with
hearing aid.
Hearing aid,
actually,
thank you.
On a side note, that actor, David Attenberg, actually has hearing aids.
Does he really?
So that's why they worked it in. Yeah, that's why they worked it in.
Love that. That's really cool.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think that goes to the point, right, that just because he's got hearing aids doesn't mean he's an old person.
That's what I'm saying, though.
Yeah.
Like, he still should be a person. And we get glimmers of that because he finds both of his hearing aids. And I'd imagine you probably would, like, you know, like a tea leaver, a motor, a lot of things, they, you know, you
like lose, my glasses.
Like your glasses, like your headphones. The amount like of times headphones.
I walk in and go, James, have you seen my glasses?
And I'm like, yes, Claire, I put them in the toilet. Maybe as I should always
put them
do.
Around my neck. I should.
You should. That's why people have chains. Not a terrible idea. If they could make chains fashionable again, that would be huge for you. Anyways, so she's like, why don't you just yell the divorce into my one good ear? And she's like, no, if I'm going to divorce you, I'm going to do it properly or whatever. And he's just completely like confused initially. And I'm like, I wasn't sure how this scene was supposed to play out. Cause he's like, what? Are we getting a divorce? I was joking. What? Is this good news? Oh, it's bad news. Oh, I was joking that it was bad news. And it's like, oh, okay. What are we doing? But he does have a good moment, I would say, in this scene. What do you think?
Yeah. So initially the back end, so we were both preparing for this episode, like you went to the bathroom immediately before, because you know our boy Steve. I just think that the first few lines of it, the actor was sort of a bit stilted, like David was a bit stilted. But then also, I think that when I watched it a second time, I actually think they were playing it like maybe you would if you were just relaxing watching footy, and you actually think as it becomes clear that you've had this. You're in this really calm, safe space in your relationship and you're married for like 50. You're in your 50s. You're relaxing at home. You've got a teenage son and everything's just really chill. And then your wife sits down and just suddenly says, I want a divorce out of nowhere, because it's clear to me then that as he says, as you rightly said, the speech he then gives – at the end of that, after he gets over, he's like, where he can't get any words out. He thought everything was actually just the best it's ever been.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't so up and down.
Yeah. I thought that was really interesting where he's like, oh, you've done this to me again. You know, like you've kind of put me through the ringer a few times. And she's like, I'm not happy. You know, this isn't enough for me. I need more connection and energy and sex is what
and
she
I
says.
And I need more. I need more.
And she's like, isn't this, you know, don't you think this isn't enough? And he's like, no, this is enough for me. And that was quite heartbreaking to be like, this is just what he was looking for. You know, and when he's like, I just want to eat ice cream on the couch and come home and like and see
and
you or
talk
whatever.
About our son,
yeah,
Brady.
I'm like, that sounds pretty nice actually.
Yeah. And they've always been such good friends.
Yeah.
As well. But what I don't understand and what I guess I'm starting to see, I guess what I think the writers are doing and what the character Miranda is doing, she sits on the couch and the way she talks to him, put your hearing aid in.
Yeah.
In this really like aggressive tone.
Yeah.
And it's quite rude. And I think she did the same thing last week where she tried to have that recreate that fingering scene.
Yeah.
It's so unfair.
Yeah.
She hasn't given him any opportunity to show what he can
do. Or to rectify.
Exactly. Or to actually have, like, he was never going to be able to recreate the scene with Shay in the kitchen.
Yeah.
You know, if she wanted to rekindle their relationship, there's so many other ways she could have done it. And the kind of yelling at him in that way that she was kind of speaking to him like he was a doddery old person.
Which, you know,
which
made him.
Maybe or maybe not, but it was like she was so annoyed and sick of him that she wasn't.
Just like, can we just get this over with?
Yeah. I don't know. And I agree.
Really I've written here unfair question mark. And I don't think it's unfair in terms of like, if you're not happy, you should leave. Like that's totally fine. But I think you probably owe somebody more than just like, hey, I've just been unhappy and I didn't say anything until now. You know what I mean? And I guess it takes people a while to kind of
work
through their own
stuff,
feelings.
But she does say to Kerry, I've been unhappy for a really long time.
Yeah.
But it's obvious that she never said anything to Steve.
No, yeah.
But then she assumes that their relationship is just like dead in the water and he must just think that the same as me, that it's dead in the water.
He knows.
So
she's like, he knows that it's over. And it's like, no, he doesn't. He's got no idea. He thought it was good. I really liked his line where I think it was something along the lines of like, I'm too old to rally. Like, I can't, if you're going to go and you, like, I can't take another run at this. Like, this is it for me. You know what I mean? I can't do this again. You know, I thought that was a really interesting line as well. A really good line to be like, this sucks, but like I don't have this in me to like to chase you again.
Yeah. I know. And just the way he says, I want you to be happy.
Yeah.
And also how he just says, I'm always here for you. You're up and down and all over the place, but I'm always here.
Yeah.
And that broke my heart too, because I thought to myself, I think in just relationships in life in general, right, they're cyclical often.
Yeah.
And they'll be good and then they won't be good, but they'll be good again.
Yeah.
And obviously there are relationships that end up toxic and people should leave.
Mm.
But then I also think if you've been through so much with someone, to not give them the chance to repair it in a way that's real.
But I think another element to this as well is like if she's queer, then that's a whole other thing as well. And, you know, it's a whole other element of like, this is not, she doesn't want to be with like a guy, you know, anymore.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think for her, and look, we'll talk about kind of the fallout from this and we'll see more of that next week. Yeah. This kind of really hammered home that like she has never handled this well, like this whole situation, like the affair, how she's approached
she just
him,
cut him,
speaking
out
to her friends about it, or like what she's going to do next. You know, this really drove it home that like she's so caught up in it and it's so exciting and fresh and new that she can't. She's just, we'll see.
Yeah, well, because that scene where she decides to do it and tell Steve.
Yeah.
Yeah, what did you think of that scene with Shay when she goes to check in with Shay before she does it?
Yeah.
What did you
think? Well, I just wanted to quickly say as well, and she was also like, I'm not going to tell him that I met somebody. And he's like, oh, like, what do you mean? Like, we're old. What do you think is out there? And then she had to be like, well, guess what? I have met somebody, so there is more for me out there. You know what I mean? That felt really mean. And I guess, like, that's not a cool thing to say to somebody also. Like, what do you think you can do better than this? Which is not really the way that he framed it, but that's essentially, like, what he was
I think it was
saying.
More – it was almost done in a way where he clearly loves her and he's worried about her.
Yeah.
Because I do think sometimes you can have that idea that the grass is just going to be greener.
Mm.
And I think Carrie tries to warn her about that too and say being alone isn't all it's cracked up to be.
Yeah.
You know? And I do think that can happen in this kind of way where people think that divorce is the answer.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I'm sure it sometimes absolutely is. But also
definitely,
maybe,
yeah.
Oh, who was I listening to? Someone.
It was probably me. Anyway, so I was saying that.
No, I was listening to a podcast interview where the guest had recently left her marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And she was saying how she left the marriage. She wished that she'd known that in leaving the marriage, it wouldn't sort out herself because
she left the
marriage and there she still was. You know what I mean? Like she needed to find herself and be happy in who she is. And it doesn't mean that she shouldn't have necessarily got divorced.
Yeah.
But it's a bit like that idea that if I just move to Paris, my life will be fine.
Yeah.
But what you find is when you move to Paris, you were still there.
You're still there.
With all your same problems, you've just moved location.
And Carrie.
Anyway, and so I think Carrie's trying to warn her of that, that you might not be happy, but a person isn't going to be the solve.
Yeah,
you know what
totally.
I mean? At the end of the day, it's got to be you fixing you.
Yeah, and I guess that's what the show has like always really been about. You know what I mean? It's about being
that relationship
the
with yourself,
version of yourself.
Yeah, but
you know, loving yourself.
Yeah, what I thought was interesting in that Shay and Miranda interaction, just before Shay leaves to go to Cleveland, Miranda is clearly so swept
she's just
away,
giddy.
At giddy, right? And Shay tells Miranda that they love her.
Yeah.
And Miranda thinks that it's now the big scene in the rom-com.
Yeah, yeah.
And Shay is basically saying, great, we're just going to be together forever and thank goodness. And I do think that was realistic when she said, I've got all these big feelings, do you?
Yeah.
And it was a beautiful moment in a way, but Shay is trying to say to her, I'm not into traditional, I don't want to do traditional.
And Miranda's like, it's fine, I don't want a traditional.
Yeah.
But I think what we're going to find is that their ideas are not
aligned.
Well, they might become more aligned, but she's about to like walk in front of a truck essentially.
That's how you feel because the episode kind of ends with her in a cab. What did you think about the way they edited that? Because they cut Steve off.
Hard cut, yeah.
Hard cut right when Miranda sort of tells him that there's someone else.
Yeah.
And then they cut to her in a cab talking to Carrie.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. You wonder if there was more there that they edited out. Like, it's also like, what more could there be from that? Like, he's already upset. Do you want to see more upset Steve, I guess. I think we're going to see more of him, obviously, in the next couple of episodes.
Yeah.
And look, I don't know whether Miranda will, like, regret and, like, want to go back to Steve, but I think there will be regret about how she handled it with him, you know.
I think so. Yeah. And she just lost sight of him. It's like she couldn't see him anymore.
Yeah.
And it made me think that the character of Miranda can do that.
Yep.
She can just become very selfish.
Mm. Well, and, you know, everyone can. Yeah. I really like that line where Miranda's like, I'm flying over to surprise Shay. I'm in a rom-com. And Carrie's like, all right, good luck, whoever you are.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Because it's so not like Miranda to be so swept up in something.
And I think we're going to walk into, like, Shay is with other people, or Shay's like, what are you doing here? You know, Miranda's not going to walk into what she thinks
she's
walking
into.
I don't know what that's going to look like. I kind of want it to be something other than just like, oh, Shay's dating other people or whatever, like, which would be fine, but it's done, it's made, but like, I'd be interested if it was something like unexpected, you know?
Yes.
But we'll see.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyways.
You know what would be really interesting?
What's that? Steve's there. He's like, I'm here. I'm here to get ya.
Little bowls of ice cream. Yeah. I made a tray of bowls of ice cream, Miranda.
Oh, Steve.
Yeah.
No, there is a version of that you could do, though. I like that idea, though. I do. Of like, maybe Shay isn't as upfront as they, you know, necessarily say. Anyway, we'll find out. Anyways, Samantha speculation this week. Every week I like to go, is Samantha going to show up in this episode, in this series of Sex and the City? It's a big zero this week in terms of Samantha speculation.
Mate, you've got two episodes left, and as I've said from the very beginning, it's not happening.
But okay.
And they're not even mentioning her, to be honest.
No, but to put the boot in. If I'm going to catch a stray like my boy Steve, Kim Cattrall liked this tweet this week. So proud of @KimCattrall for skipping the trashy Sex and the City reboot and doing How I Met Your Father for Hulu. She's wonderful, and so is Hilary Duff. If you have 48 minutes to spare, go ahead and watch the first two episodes. I may even rewatch them before next week. Challenge accepted.
Oh,
that was from Julia Hawes on Twitter.
Kim Cattrall.
So there you go. And it was... I mean, I'd forgotten that started, How I Met Your Father.
Yeah,
has kicked
everybody
off.
Has, because everyone's talking about, and just like that, she would be, I reckon she would be regretting it.
I don't think she would. If it doesn't make her happy and she's rich, who gives a shit?
No, I think that her management would be regretting it. And I think
for the money, yes.
The money, but not even that.
I think for the management money.
My gut feeling is that Kim Cattrall had all this bridge under the water about the inequity of the money and all of those things. But I think she also didn't want to be made a fool of in a reboot that wasn't going to be any good.
Totally.
And say what you will about the show, everybody is talking
about it.
Everyone's
loving it.
Every podcast I listen to, someone brings it up. And
none of the podcasts I listen to, people bring it up.
Shockingly. But
they're just talking about monoclonal antibodies. Sorry, go on.
Yeah, I know. Everything you listen to is just shooty, shooty, bang, bang.
No, everything like, I listen to is like...
How do I stay young?
Is like, no, everything I listen to is like capitalism destroying the world. I'm like, oh my God, it is. You're right.
Yeah.
Anyway,
is
sorry,
is that why
on.
You always give me a speech on capitalism?
I don't always.
No,
once a week. Anyway, oh, sorry, go on.
No, so I think Kim Cattrall would be looking at all of this because everybody's talking about it, right? And if part of it was that she was worried about, you know, her legacy and profile and all of that stuff. If she still wants to be a working actor, Sex and the City reboot and Just Like That is one of the biggest shows, probably the biggest TV show the moment.
You know what would be cool if they wanted to get her in the show and not have her interact with the rest of the cast, have a Samantha-focused episode of wherever she's living, just do like a bottle episode of
her in
just
London
Samantha.
Or something.
Yeah, just Samantha, her new friends, whatever she's up to.
I just think that I think she's burnt so many bridges.
I don't think so. I think if she was open to it, they would welcome her back with open arms. 100%.
Yeah. My gut feeling is when they do the next season, which they obviously are going to, because there's only two episodes left and there's nowhere near finished tying everything together. I reckon she'll come back.
I think you might be right.
As I said, from the beginning.
But then again, liking that tweet, you know, they're probably writing the new season already. They would be writing the new season already. you know, it makes me think also, unless this is some kind of long marketing con, which, you know, is not out of the question.
It's not a long marketing con. The rift is
no,
real.
I know that. I know. But, like, the amount of things that, like, get leaked and, I mean, because I live in this world of, like, spoilers and, like, and speculation and cameos and all these kinds of things. And there have been scenarios, like, for example, and I'm going to spoil the new Spider-Man movie for everybody who hasn't seen it. Andrew Garfield spent like 2 years being like, I am not in the new Spider-Man movie, just bold-faced lying to people. And he's in it. This is different, but what I'm saying is it happens.
Yeah, but you come from the world of like men talking about capitalism constantly on a podcast and then like, I don't know, dick swinging around and then like
you also come from that
different...
world. This episode was, there were two dicks swinging around. True.
And like discussing the Easter eggs of capes and leaping about on buildings and lots of bang fight scenes.
It's all the same.
No.
It's all media.
Yeah, I know it's all media, but I in lots of ways I agree with you. But I think this particular show, the kind of audience that this particular show has, I just don't think you could get away with actors lying to fans in that way because it's a totally different audience from the audience that is watching Spider-Man. I just think the kind of relationship that women have with this show, and I will just say it, women in particular have with this show.
And me, all women and
you,
me.
No, and not just women. Hashtag not just women. And
hashtag not all
and
men.
And correct, there's a lot of women that love Spider-Man, and I love Spider-Man too. But what I'm saying, is the bulk of, like, what this show has meant for so many women in their lives, in their personal lives, in their love for this show, it's just not about that. It's not about lying for 2 years to shock the audience. I just don't think they would do that. I think that, and maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think I am. I just think that they would, if Samantha's going to be in the next season, they will drop it beforehand. I do.
Yeah. Oh, no, you're probably right.
Yeah. And because of just the nature of the whole thing. Anyway, that's what I reckon.
Yep.
So,
but wouldn't you rather not know?
No.
You want to know that she's coming.
Yeah, because part of the joy of it is like all of the dropping of the trailers and the pictures and the imagery and the fan pics beforehand. I think one of the other parts of Sex and the City which would make it so difficult, and I guess maybe you're right, if they did just like a capsule episode in London or something, maybe it would be different. But New York, if you're filming in New York, it's almost impossible to just hide.
I agree.
From the paparazzi.
If you put her in a full episode and she was on the street. Again, I don't actually think she's going to show up, just to clarify.
Oh, well. A man eats his words.
No, look, I would say, I still stick by, there's a 1% chance that she could. But, you could do it without filming it on the street. There's a way to do it.
I feel like they've really put in a lot of effort to move away from her now. Like, she hasn't been in last week's either.
Yeah, that's true.
I really think. And which makes me sad because I really have missed her now.
Yeah.
I've missed that element of the show that's like, because there were a couple of sex scenes, but there's no real, that kind of joyful abandonment of,
you can't
like,
just throw in a couple of dicks and think we'll be satisfied.
No,
you know what I mean?
That's what I mean. Because Sex in the City, one of the narrative arcs, and there's always four in each episode, is this joyful sort of like, or hilarious, highly explicit content. And it's not that I'm really there for that, but it adds like this dynamic to the show that kind of gives it its pace.
Sure.
Does that make sense?
I totally agree.
Yeah, and look, it's spice.
I like the way that you said adding dynamic to the show because it makes me think about the way people can add dynamics to this show.
Good
and that
segue.
Is why
you're nothing if not
leaving your review in app. Really, we'd really appreciate it. Whatever platform you're on, you can do it. This is from Jason Hawke, who says, the podcast I wanted. The podcast I wanted to discuss this Daffy series. Hosts are wonderful, unironically fans, and unforgivingly critical when necessary. Thank you very much, Jason. Thank you to everybody who writes a review. I'm going through all of them every single week. There are a couple episodes left, of course, before the end of the season. So please come back next week. Maybe we have a letter. Do we have a letter this week, Claire?
We do have a letter. This one is entitled justice for Steve.
Oh, Steve, my boy. What do we got?
And it's from Jesse. Hello, Suggestibles and Samantha Watchers.
That's me.
I'm a long-time Daily Planet listener and have been greatly enjoying...
It's the Weekly Planet.
No, it's just the Daily Planet. This is the Daily Planet.
That's a different thing.
All right, pipe down over there. Take some chill pills.
I will.
Enjoying listening to Suggestible in the City, especially since absolutely no one in my life will watch the occasionally cursed text that isn't just like that. After last week's episode and discussion, I have to speak up for the podcast favorite son, our boy Steve.
There we go.
The timing that Miranda settled on to spring her make it or break it sexual pop quiz was so unfair. They're in the middle of cleaning up dinner. Steve is clearly in the middle of dealing with staffing issues at his business.
Yep, yep.
And hang on, there's a little tangent here. Steve is the only mainstay character that has been working consistently in a service industry.
That's true.
First as a bartender and later as an owner. I have friends who have followed similar tracks and are already suffering hearing loss.
Yeah, right.
From many late nights in amplified environments. And we're all just now hitting our 40s.
Yeah.
The writers could have used Steve's hearing loss to examine the class disparity that's always been present between Miranda and Steve.
That's good.
And the extra toll that some careers take on our bodies. But old man Steve, I guess, was narratively better for furthering Miranda's journey.
Yep. I look, and we've been very open about how we don't like the way they've handled Steve personally. Mm-hmm. And I never kind of gave thought to what you would do with that. But that is an excellent suggestion.
Isn't it? Yeah. Because they already did do some scenes in that. I mean, one of the reasons they broke up the first time was he has only a corduroy suit. And then Miranda wants to take him to some fancy lawyer dinner.
Yeah.
And she's like, you can't wear that corduroy brown suit. Do you remember that?
Yeah, and he's like, and but he's, I don't have any other clothes. All my clothes are wet.
And then she... inexplicably, oh, my clothes are wet and I don't know what to do. Miranda, I can't afford a washing machine.
My umbrella turned inside out and I got rained on. That's modern Steve, not Steve of old. Steve would have handled it.
No, anyway, exactly.
You got hit by an umbrella today. Anyways.
Yeah, oh, my God, I did have the speech. I got skewered by an umbrella and you tried to save me and it didn't work. It backfired.
I thought I got it. I did not. By the way, this is an enormous beach umbrella.
Oh my God, I saw it coming and I was standing next to our daughter on the beach.
Yeah.
And it rolled and rolled and rolled and rolled and rolled. And then James is standing in front of me and like tried to grab it in this sort of flailing arms going everywhere. And then it kept spinning.
Kept going when it got past me.
And it didn't hit and I caught it, but not before the end speared me.
Did
in
you
the
get a
ribs.
Bruise?
No, I didn't get a bruise. It just hurt. Yeah. It just hurt because it came at me full tilt. But I went all mama bear. I was like, no umbrella is...
You stopped that. Yeah. Like, big time. Because
my daughter
I think it's also
right
like you literally put your body on the line of like, I will not move.
No
from,
way.
Because I wasn't moving away from it.
You
I should clarify.
James basically was running
was
down the beach away
from it.
And
I stepped towards it and I missed it. But luckily, Claire.
Yeah, I just skewered. I put my ribs on the line. I hope our daughters are listening to this in the
very
future.
Very impressive.
And I would do it again in a heartbeat.
Okay. Let's line that up.
Yeah.
Anyway, you were saying.
What was I saying about Steve?
Steve, umbrella, a corduroy suit.
Oh, yeah, yeah. In that episode, he's wearing a corduroy suit and she hates it. So she takes him to a tailor and she buys him a proper suit.
Mm.
But then he feels really embarrassed about it and sends it back, I think, because he's so expensive.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they break up because she realizes that they're in different worlds, I guess, in terms of class and money and education, and then she has to go to this kind of fancy lawyer dinner where she then gets made partner, but she's got no Steve.
Yeah.
And it is. There's always that.
Partnered in one way but not the other.
Correct.
That is.
Well done.
It's pretty good.
Exactly. Yeah. But that is such an interesting storyline, right?
Yeah.
Because it's so true. And he works so hard.
Yeah, he's still working, like consistent. I mean, they all are in a way.
Yeah,
but he's manual labor is, and it's not just manual labor, but like it's physically
it's in a
taxing.
Service industry.
Like a lot of people I know who do like physical labor who are now, I'm now 38, the bodies are like fucked, you know?
Mm.
And I'm lucky because I've never had to do that. And I can just go to the gym and be like, I'm lifting weights, look at me or whatever.
Little
like,
soft fingers.
Yeah. I've got calluses from lifting weights. But yeah, it's brutal, you know? And he's 55.
Yeah, and he's been working in pubs and doing all of that. So I think there is something really interesting about that. And also, I just think Miranda might be a bit of an arsehole.
Well, I think, you know, none of them are perfect. That's the point. And I think that's good, though.
Yeah, none of us are, right?
I mean, in the show, it's good. Because if she was, like, right and she was like, I got out of it and I was right. Like, that's not interesting.
No, exactly.
Anyway, we got to wrap it up because Colin has to edit this podcast of a show he probably doesn't watch. So he's thoroughly confused by what's going on.
Exactly. I'll just quickly finish Jesse's email by saying... Was Steve an awkward fumbling dummy? Sure, but he's our awkward fumbling dummy.
Yep.
And the whole setup felt very set up to fail. Boo. Just boo.
Yep.
We're great, mate.
And yeah.
Boo, hashtag our boy Steve.
Our boy Steve. You did him wrong.
You did him
but
wrong.
But I'm hoping maybe there's more to that in the next few episodes where we get a little bit more of a deep dive into Steve.
You know what I think would happen in real life, and I'm hoping the writers take it this way. Steve initially is like, I love you. I want you to be happy. He's in shock.
Yeah.
I reckon the rage is going to come.
Oh, I would love that.
Yeah.
We'd see some Steve of old. So not rage, but,
yeah,
you know,
but like enough.
Some fire.
Some anger, right? Because she's cheating on him.
Yep.
And she's just blown up their whole life. They have a son together. You know, he's had to deal with her doing this all the time. Anywho,
and look, interesting. Look, rage is not my favorite, but yeah.
No, he's a bit of a jerk, isn't he?
He was at that rally, and that's cool.
That's true. And teenagers are, I guess. This is the thing because the writers are parents of teenagers.
Yeah.
So they're writing teenagers probably as they are, which is kind of terrifying.
As revenge. Anyways, we've got to get out of here.
We do.
Please come back next week. We're going for our penultimate episode.
Exactly.
And then we'll just go from there, won't we?
We will.
Mr. Sunday Movies on Twitter.
I'm at Claire Tonti on Instagram, and you can email the show at suggestiblepod@gmail.com.
Send in your thoughts.
There's still two episodes left, James.
That's right. That's what I'm saying. No. Penultimate is second last, isn't it?
See, yes. Is it? Yes, you are.
Is it not?
Correct. It's like the semi-final.
It's the same way that Spider-Man 2 is the penultimate movie in the Sam Raimi Spider-Man trilogy.
All right.
Initially it was anyway. No spoilers. Okay. Thanks, everybody.
Okay.
And goodbye.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns. Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.